And so may I encourage you through the study of these few verses here, that yes, we Christians, we are persecuted, we are despised of the world, hated by many people around us, even our family members may reject us, and you may think that there is no point for us to continue. Here, however, in verse 37, what are we told? We are told that nevertheless, we are more than conquerors. Thus, the sermon title, Believers Are More Than Conquerors Through Christ. The world may consider us Christians as losers, because we are often troubled, perplexed, persecuted, cast down, and we go through much affliction. Do not lose heart. Here in this passage, we are given hope. We are in fact not helpless flock of sheep, but we are in fact conquerors. Why? Because the Lord Jesus loves us, and in Him and through Him, we can become conquerors. We can overcome. The Apostle Paul's real intention, following verse 36, is to emphasize that in the midst of all these troubles, affliction, sickness, or whatever the believers may experience, particularly those very trying times, which we may face from time to time. In fact, all this unpleasant experiences, affliction, is actually for our good. It is through all this, in fact, it is a blessing in disguise, so to speak, that will help us. All these unpleasant experiences is to help us, is to make us to be more than conquerors. In fact, verse 37 tells us that the believers are not just conquerors. Christians are more than conquerors. They are actually super conquerors. We can say that. If you look at the Greek text, that word translated as conquerors, it is a single compound verb. And that gives us the English translation, we are more than conquerors. The middle part of that Greek word means to overcome or to conquer. Whereas the first part of the Greek word, hupē, means in place of, over and above, or more than. And that's why, and that's where we get the word super. When we put these two parts of the word together, we find Paul saying that believers are super conquerors. Or as we have it in our AV, more than conquerors, not in and of ourselves, but in Christ. Now we must go on to find out what does the Apostle Paul meant when he calls believers super conquerors. Did he mean that we are winning a sweeping, overwhelming victory? Yes. That is what he meant. But when we look at our own lives, no. Many Christians are living a life defeated. We go around each day with our heads hanging down, and often you find Christians very depressed, and they just could not cope. So what is Paul talking about here? Note what Paul says in the beginning of verse 37. In all these things, the reference is to the things mentioned in verse 35. And what are those things? He includes other things and beings, which he added in verse 38, 39, referring to death, life, angels, and so on. When we put verse 28 and 37 side by side, we find a similarity and a close connection in these two statements. And then we will begin to understand that what Paul is saying, that not only do these various hardship or affliction or forces, if you like, do not hurt us, but they actually help us. They all work together for our good. But this is something which we in our sinful nature find very hard to grasp, to understand, and more so to accept. Because each day, we cannot deny the fact there are some surprises that will catch us off guard, and we are afflicted. We feel downcast. We feel discouraged. But no, let us understand this. Let us have our mind renewed by the word of God. Let us think differently from the way the world thinks. Let us learn to look at all this hardship, the trials, the pain, the sorrow, whether is it you are the, or whatever the cause. You know, I know of parents who are in grief because their children refuse to turn to Christ. They have been praying for them, but they see no result. So let us have our mind renewed. Paul here is reasoning to us and state in connection with this, with all these things that are happening in our lives, at different stages of our life, there is more to it. A conqueror is a person who defeats the enemy. One who is more than a conqueror causes the enemy to become a helper. Think of it this way. In other words, every kind of human experiences, good or bad, do not defeat us. The believers, that is, the believers. It will not defeat us, the believers, the Christian. But the opposite is the outcome. It becomes our helper. Returning to our earlier question, in what ways we believers are more than conquerors? When we are told that we are despised, we are rejected, we are troubled, we are persecuted, as Paul puts it, exposed to famine, nakedness, danger. So in what way we believers are more than conquerors? I suggest a few. Number one, the first reason why believers are more than conquerors is that we are fighting against spiritual forces. Our enemies is more than human. Understand this. Our enemies are more than human. And this is how Paul ends his letter in Ephesians, isn't it? Reminding us what? We wrestle against, not against, brother, flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Ephesians 6:12. Do we see this in our world today? Yes, of course. As I said this morning, do you not know that the anti-Christian sentiment is on the rise? Not only in this country, but in America, in Canada, in all Western countries, and even in Singapore, my home country, and in Malaysia, and in every other countries. It is there. We are not spared. Policies right now coming up from the government, gradually, slowly, but surely, is to corner us. Let us be awake from our spiritual slumber and don't just cruise along in our Christian life. Be aware. Yes, we give thanks to God for giving us peace and rest in this country so far. We have relative peace, relative comfort. But often we forget and we take this for granted. And we live our life each day as though all this will continue. It may not, as I said. Therefore, be very careful, be very watchful. We are to pray. We are to be watchful. We are to be vigilant. Therefore, if our enemies are supernatural, then our victories are also supernatural. We are more than conquerors. The devil is the embodiment of all these hostile spiritual forces. He is a deceiver. He is a very cunning foe. But thanks be to God that Satan is not omnipotent, Satan is not omniscient, Satan is not omnipresent. whereas our God is. Our God is. Rest on this, my friends. Though Satan and his angels are crafty, yes, we see it, we feel it. More will be coming, perhaps, and working against us very subtly. But yet let us not be spiritually gullible and get sucked into all this kind of philosophies and all this principalities and power at work in the political arena, in our schools, in our place of work. Let us be very careful. But thanks be to God that through Christ who loves us, Christian, you who are in union with the Lord Jesus Christ, by the Holy Spirit, you are conquerors. We stand firm and fight on to victory. The second reason Christians are more than conquerors, because the warfare we are engaged in requires believers to fight lifelong battles. And this is a very discouraging point for us. We don't like to fight all the time, isn't it? It's very tiring. Let's face it. Especially those of us who have been Christian for a long time. You know, day in, day out, you have all these spiritual battles. Today is this, tomorrow is that. In the church, as the individual believers, you get bombarded all this. Suddenly, something that is going on well, next moment, it turns out the other way. And this is something that we do not like. But this is a fact we have already covered in our previous study. We must not forget that our spiritual warfares, which are our spiritual struggles, are not a one-off battle. So, dear friends, brethren, remove that thought out of your mind when you hear all these sermons that, oh, as a Christian, no, God is God of love and mercy, that God is a lovey-dovey God, and then life will be okay. Yes, the Lord will take care of us. Indeed, He will, as we see in Scripture, as you experience it in your own life. But that does not mean we need not continue in this spiritual battle. Paul brought it up in the Romans chapter 7, isn't it? Do you have that struggle? Yes. And we must confess that it's very tiring. And therefore we need God. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. And we can. And here we are reminded again. We are more than conquerors. Not in ourselves. In Christ. Plead to the Lord. If you are weak, call out to Him. What is your normal prayer every day? Do you pray? What do you pray for yourself, for your children, for your grandchildren? Bless my job. Bless my family. Make sure, Lord, you know, I have all this money coming into my bank. Is that all? Is that all? Are you not concerned? Are you not sensitive to your spiritual needs? That you need Christ to fight the spiritual battle. Do you pray for that? Do you pray, Lord, it's going to be tough today. I have this nasty client or this boss to deal with, a non-believer. And I want to keep my testimony. How? Who cares? I don't care. I'll go in and give him a good bash. At worst, I just throw in my letter and I walk out. Really? I know that some people in my country, I heard the newer generation, they can do that. They even dare to come before the boss and say, you think that my performance is not up to your standard? I can resign. Wow. During my time, and then you can ask the older folks, if that ever come out from my mom and my father here, that finished. It's World War V. But nowadays, young people do that. Why? What's the big deal? My father, mother has already prepared all their will. Condominium for first son, this million for second son, third one for... all prepared. And even you have parents who do what? Tell the son and the daughter. Oh, is it? I heard this from my friends, you know. He has to deal with this in the office. Oh, your boss is so nasty. Don't worry. Son, take a holiday. None will pay for it. This is the generation that we have right now in my country, and I'm not surprised in here, because Singapore, or Singaporean, are quite rich. We have one of the world's highest GDP. But we have a generation of people like that. But let us, as believers, let us not get sucked into it. So what do you pray for in all your this struggle? Is the name or the glory of Christ important to you that you will pray that, Lord, help me? As you have said that I am more than conquerors and I can overcome this, and I want to overcome this for your name's sake. I don't want to destroy my testimony at home, at my place of work. And you tell me that I'm a more than conqueror, I'm facing this right now. But do you pray for it? So therefore, we must not forget that our spiritual battles, which are our spiritual struggles, are not one-off. There is no truce, no amnesty, no ceasefire, no interval. But don't despair. In the power of the Holy Spirit, you can. Those of us who are in Christ. All we need is to cry out to Him for help. Call out upon Him. Each day before you start off your life, whether at work or at school, Lord, help me. Help me to overcome. Because you will face spiritual attack. We are the targets of the world, the flesh and the devil. There is never a moment of reprieve. Therefore, it follows that our conquest is more than ordinary conquest. For the believers, their conquest is super conquest in Christ. The next reason, which is the third, why Christians are more than conquerors. Sorry, I'm distracted by someone walking. I don't know who is that. At the side. The next reason, which is the third reason why we are more than conquerors, is that the spiritual victories achieved by God's people are eternal. It is of eternal value. All the spiritual, or all the struggles, all the hardship that you go through, it is not just good for you now here. You see? It has so-called future value, or future good, so to speak. It is eternal. And this is very important truth that you and I need to remind ourselves constantly. Because we fail to see. We oftentimes see, what is all this that I'm going through? Sickness and all this striving. What good? What good? We are not patient enough to wait and see, or to experience the fruit of that struggle. And that's our problem. We want to see the result. Why? Don't just tell me it's for my good. I want to experience it now. And that is our problem. But we need to understand this, that this good may not be revealed to us immediately, but let us by faith, in humility, trust God. Just as what Job went through, he could not understand at all what is happening in his life. Everything is crumbling down. His health, his family, his business, his is all in a mess. What good can it be? And God said to him, where are you when I lay the foundation of the world? God did not spend his time to explain to Job. You know, in chapter 1, you may not know, but in chapter 1, you know, Satan has nothing better to do and came. God did not spend his time explaining to Job why he went through that. It is to teach Job and I the lesson of learning to humbly receive and trust in God that what He is doing, though I do not understand, it blows my mind, it is incomprehensible, never mind, I know my God loves me
and he doeth all things well for me and for his glory.
And so we are told and also we must realize that we are living in a perishing world. This suffering or hardship that you are going through is not going to be forever. The value is eternal, but the suffering is not for eternal. There will come a time it will stop. There will come a time it will cease. Everything in this life that we achieve, our spiritual victory, our accomplishment in life, will all pass away, no matter how great our accomplishment may be in the eyes of the world. And so we are told in Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth will pass away. How much more our human accomplishment and achievement and the great monuments that we have erected to boast of ourselves, it will all crumble. But this is not so for those of us in Christ. This is not so as we go through spiritual warfare. We have our spiritual victory. Our spiritual victory has meaning and purpose, and it has eternal value. Just as Jesus' suffering gives rise to eternal victory, so likewise the Christian who suffers, and we suffer, as I said, but for a moment. Paul used this word, but for a moment. Meanwhile, as we go through it, can we go through it? Yes. By the grace and the power of God, through the Holy Spirit, we can go through it. Fourthly, the fourth reason why Christians are more than conquerors, though they struggle and suffer in this life, is that the rewards of their victory will surpass anything ever attained by earthly conquerors. And this is an extension of the point that I just said, eternal value. Our victory is actually eternal rewards. You have seen soldiers who fought bravely in all the wars, courageously, and what do they receive? They receive all these medals and all these badges pinned onto their uniform. But all these are earthly rewards. They cannot bring with them into their grave. As for the believers, we look for what? We look for heaven. We look for rewards in heaven. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Corinthians, put it this way: run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it, these earthly people, to obtain a corruptible crown. But we run, we persevere, we endure, we strive on, but we an incorruptible, meaning to say imperishable. 1 Corinthians 9:24-25. In this pilgrim life, or rather in our pilgrimage, we, like our master, we may wear nothing glamorous but a thorn of crowns. But in heaven, just as Christ, we will wear crowns that are incorruptible and will possess an inheritance. The Bible describes it, or rather, the Apostle Peter describes it as what? Our inheritance is what? Undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. 1 Peter 1:4. The fifth and final reason why believers are more than conquerors through Christ is that our goal, or rather the goal of our spiritual warfare, is for the glory of God. For the glory of God. There is no greater or worthier cause than the glory of God. And this is another teaching that you and I struggles very hard. We do not think it this way. For the glory of God. Oftentimes it's for me. For me. For my name. For my glory. I want people to praise me. I want people to say that I'm good, kind. Very, very seldom do we think, oh, I go through this suffering for the glory of God, and that it has eternal value. So I bring your attention once again to the book of Revelation. If you turn to Revelation
to chapter 4, verses 1 to 11. There you see in Revelation chapter 4, 1 to 11, the setting is the throne room of heaven. And there before the throne room, or rather before the throne of the Almighty God, what do you see there? Or what do you read there? 24 elders who represent the people of God, saved from all the nations and all the ages. These 24 elders are seated on the throne and wear crowns, because the saints reign with Jesus Christ, their Savior and Lord. And then notice in the center, immediately surrounding the throne, are what? Four living creatures who cried out day and night, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." They are glorifying God in worship. Who is, who was and is to come. Verse 8. Then you see also in that passage, when the four living creatures worship God with these words, "Holy, holy," when they sang that, the 24 elders, what did they do? They rise from their throne, they fall before God, or they bow down before God, prostrate before God, and worship Him. Then take note of this very important action that they did. What did they do? They cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." Revelation 4, 10 to 11. Brethren, I just want us to visualize this beautiful and glorious scene in our mind. For it shows us what? The crowns of victory worn by God's people are actually worn by God's grace and power, and therefore rightly belong to God. That honor must go back to God. Yes, they are our crowns, but we lay it at the Lord's feet. Why do they do that? To show that they were worn for God's glory, worn for God's strength and not ours. Or rather, worn in God's strength and not ours. So in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ our Lord. However, what you and I as believers must keep in mind is that the way to victory is not by going up to achieve self or to anything that is that glorifies us, self-achieved glory, but rather through one way only, by stooping down in suffering. And this goes against our sin nature. Every one of us wants to go up. Every one of us will desire, "Why should I suffer and be put down? I want to be number one. I want people to glorify me." We don't like that. And this is again another teaching that we Christians need the work of the Holy Spirit to further understand this, which goes against our sin nature. But this is the way for the believers. You want the eternal reward? You desire to glorify God's name? Not going up, but go down in humility. Satan tried to promote himself to glory by saying in his heart, "I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit upon the mount of the congregation, I will ascend above the heights of the cloud, I will be the Most High." That was Lucifer's dream. But for the Christian, the way to the mount of congregation where Satan aspired to be is to follow in the steps of our Master, the Lord Jesus Christ. What did our Lord Jesus do? In His coming from heaven's glory down to this sinful world, Paul wrote this, "Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also had highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father, God the Father. Philippians 2:6-11. Brethren, Jesus was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And in the eyes of the world, he failed. But no, he is an example of a super conqueror. And for those of us who are in Christ, you are, or you will be, like the Lord Jesus Christ, in him and through him, be conquerors. And this is not the end. And so you see here in verses 28-37, the Apostle Paul, in closing, give us his personal testimony of his faith in Jesus Christ. Do you know the Apostle Paul went through a lot of hardship? And there are many young people that I know of, all love, young Christian particularly. Oh, they tell me that they want to give up, give their life to the Lord to serve him. I say you got to think 4 times or even 10 times. And some people may tell me even that, wow, why are you so discouraging, or such a discouragement to these people, this young man who wants to come into the ministry? Well, it is because I understood right now, or should I say, I understood a little bit more, that you want to serve the Lord, you want to be identified with the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is your Savior and Lord, and serve him faithfully. Be prepared to be persecuted. Be prepared for all this spiritual attack that will come. If you have not count the cost, or you are not ready to pay the price, don't come into the ministry. I think you are better off to go back to the secular work and do far better, and will glorify God in your place of work or whatever that you may be doing, if you are not called. Oh dear friends, believe it. You know what Paul says? He says this: I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. And these words is coming from a man who went through a lot in his life as a Christian, in his life as a minister of God. And his conclusion is this. Why? Because he understood how much God loves him. He understood that it is worthwhile living this life because of what Christ has done for us for him on the cross of Calvary. Paul believes that the gate of death cannot separate believers from the love of God. Why is this so? Because Christ has conquered death. Paul is certain of this, and so he declares what? Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:54-57. In fact, for the Apostle Paul, death is not the separator of God's love for his people. Death becomes the uniter or the uniting factor of believers to God. It is in that that believers are ushered into a closer relationship with God.
That actually brings the Christian into the presence of God, which marks the beginning of an eternal fellowship with Him. What about life? Can life separate us from the love of God? This present life, this life of suffering? Paul is talking about life in this sin-cursed world. This life of suffering and misery. Can war separate us? Wars can separate us from our families and friends, from one another. Poverty sometimes can separate us from one another, as we have to leave other places to look for a job. As we age, sickness, immobility will limit us from meeting each other. It is true. Never did I thought that I will return after so many years. I first came here in 2004 and stayed on to 2008. I never thought that I would return. We may not meet each other. Tomorrow may not come. It's true. Our friendship may not last. Why? Because we will die. I know of a lady, a Christian elderly lady. She is in her, I think, almost 99 now. And she told me, all her friends in Singapore, they lost touch. Close friends, good friends. Why? Because they are sick. She herself is sick. She has no energy to make that call, and the call is expensive. And they lost touch. And she told me, I have no friends right now. I'm alone at home. But you see, all these evil forces or whatever happening can create havoc for many people. They produce separation because it divides. It separates us. But for the Christian, nothing the devil can do, or nothing in this life, will separate us from the love of Christ. How do we know? Turn to Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 to 15. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, have He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross, and having spoiled principalities and powers, He made show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Believers who are covered by the blood of the Lamb are now safe in the arms of Jesus. And then Paul goes on to say, what about power? And he's referring to all kinds of power, supernatural powers, occultic powers, and all these other powers. Can all this separate us from the love of God? What about the tide of time? Can things present and things in the future separate believers from the love of God? No situation and circumstances in the present or future, whatever the situation may be, can separate us from the love of God. So there is the conclusion. In the final part, you can see there, Paul says, neither height nor depth will be able to separate believers from the love of God in Christ Jesus. I suggest what he meant here is that nothing above us and nothing below us can separate us from the love of Christ. And what does that mean? And because nothing can separate us from the love of God, and God promised that, therefore, you and I as believers can go on living in this life, though full of misery, sorrow, pain, troubles, we can continue to live this life while on this side of eternity, while waiting for the day of glorification. We can, because of the love of Christ. And He, by the power of His Holy Spirit, will enable us to live this life victoriously, to be overcomers, and thereby we glorify His holy name. Jesus laid down His life for you on the cross so that you might have life, and that you have it more abundantly. John 10:10. So we must ask ourselves in conclusion, can I say with the Apostle Paul what he has said in these verses? Is this my testimony? Is this my personal conviction that nothing can separate me from the love of Christ? That I am in Christ and Christ in me? Can you say that? Do you have a personal experience of the love and grace of God? If you are not certain of all these truths that we have considered so far in Romans chapter 8, then you are still looking at yourself. You are still depending on yourself. Look not to yourself, my dear friends. Look to the Lord Jesus. Turn to Him. Look not at your temporal troubles right now. Look beyond that. Learn to see. Ask the Lord to help you, to give you a humble and a teachable heart to accept or to understand that the hardship and the sufferings and the misery that you may go through from time to time, even sickness, is for your good. It has eternal value. It is an eternal reward waiting for you in heaven. Meanwhile, pray. We cannot deny the fact that we cannot go through all this in our own strength. Pray that the Lord will give you much grace, the empowering of the Holy Spirit to press on, to live for the glory of God. Look not to yourself, but as Isaiah 45 verse 22 says, look unto Him, or look unto me, and be ye safe, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. Turn to Him. My dear friends, this life that we are living in this sin-cursed world is not going to be an easy road for us as we travel towards heaven. But we have help, we have hope, we have the Lord Jesus. We have the God of the Bible to be our God, to be our Heavenly Father. And so let us call upon Him. Call upon Him. Trust in Him. Seek after Him. Gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we pray for Thy help. For we confess before You, O Lord, oftentimes we lean unto our own understanding. Oftentimes we forget. Oftentimes, O Lord, we give into this temptation that it is hopeless to go on, to live this life that You have given to us. This life in Christ. Because we feel so defeated. Oh Lord, help us, Lord, to look at ourselves. Help us to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Continue to teach us Your word. Continue to write Your word, Your laws in our hearts, and give us hearts that is after Thy heart. Give us a humble, a teachable heart, a God-fearing heart. So help us, we pray. Amen. Let us turn.